Technorama episode 485, Drunk Superman.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Say, Voyager 1 and 2 have been going around for about 40 years. Approximately, where are they now?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama, the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. If this is your first time listening to Technorama, thank you for joining us. I am Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm great. I'm glad you're back.
What about my back? No, it was my heart.
Oh, your heart.
I wasn't out. I took like two days off of work.
Yeah, and how's your groin?
A little bruised.
A little. Just wait.
This is Technorama, where you can actually ask questions like that.
Just wait. Having been there, done that, in about a week's time, it's going to be black.
Oh, it's about, you know, like several. Hey,
and just hope that none of your cats decides to jump on your lap.
Oh, Todd tried that first night home. Hey, like, duh, duh, duh. That's exactly. Probably all bruised up.
You should just walk around the house with those little laptop stands, you know, that you put on your lamp.
Well, thank you for asking, and I think that's my new superhero name. I'm going to be called Superventricular Tachycardia.
Tachycardia.
So what's
that's
the power?
That's what they used on Star Trek to find the warp signatures.
Right. The tachyon particles.
Oh, that's what it was.
We're having all kinds of... Also joining us in the binary studio is...
Ben Ragginton, not quite so fresh... from the Horrible Imaginings Film Festival of 2 weeks ago in San Diego.
You guys really dominated that thing. It was all over Facebook.
Oh, good. Yeah. Glad to know that.
Maybe you can talk about it a little bit later. I'm curious about it, actually.
Yeah, and in kind of contrast to last year, your first experience and how things changed this year.
Oh, I know.
Yeah, let's get into that. First, we're going to take a quick break, and we are going to come up with this show. We have lots of new buttons to push. Some of these don't even attach to anything.
Wireless technology is a beautiful thing.
Bad robots, own your own NASA gold record, and Nathan Fillion on Firefly. Hold on.
Bob Nerdly is a real Geico insurance customer, not an actor. To help him with his message, we've hired professional voice actor John Bell.
I was having problems downloading my podcast.
In a world where critical information has to get through...
I went to chuckchat.com and clicked on Technorama and gave it a listen. Tech, science, sci-fi, interviews, it was great.
A new wind was beginning to blow.
Chuck and Craig were funny, informative. I don't know what I would have done without them.
In the fight for justice, two men stood up to help those in need.
Geico Insurance. Only available by listening to Technorama at chuckchat.com.
Feed your inner geek. My throat is starting to hurt.
My name's Adam Stelzner. I'm an engineer at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory, and I think Technorama just might be the right kind of crazy.
So then what's the wrong kind of crazy? Oh, I know. It's the Two Gay Geeks podcast. No, yeah. I did not say that.
Suicide Squad?
Yeah.
Wrong kind of crazy.
You tell me. I don't know what's happened there. We have some feedback.
Right.
These aren't exactly letters. They're actually postcards.
That's right.
Letters. Oh, we get letters.
Letters.
We get your letters. Some days.
Well,
not today, because today's a Sunday.
With exotic stamps.
Ooh, overseas letters.
That's right.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today. Got him right here.
We have three postcards. I've been very lazy in reading out the mail. My pen pal, Yorga, from... Well, he's not in France. He was in...
Italy.
No, well, he's all over the place.
Oh, is Yorga traveling?
As he travels, he sends postcards, and I start doing the same, and I've been very terrible at responding lately because I've had lots of business trips and keep forgetting. It's like, I'm in Salt Lake City in the morning and out in the afternoon. I forgot to pick up a postcard, but actually, I didn't actually see Salt Lake City. Anyway.
You didn't miss much. Sorry, that was my Tourette's.
We have one from Scotland. That's the one with the castle on it that Don is showing.
That's not a castle I'm looking at.
The beach one
is... That's a resort. Oh, that castle.
The beach one is greetings from Italy.
That castle looks like it's from Holy Grail.
Wait a minute, Chuck. Look at this one.
That might be the Holy Grail castle.
Where is it from?
Castle Stalker.
Where?
Loch Linne.
It probably is.
It sure looks like it. Here, take a look at that.
Well, I'm looking at it on the monitor right now. I think that's the castle that's Castle Og.
It is Castle Og. Very
Chuck,
good,
look
Yorga.
At the car. See if you can see the video.
You got a half-built Death Star.
Look, I know. I was going to say that. No, that's actually Starbase Killer.
I was going to say, that's actually the core to Starbase Killer.
Yeah. Here's very the one nice. He sent me from Scotland.
You got different ones.
Here's the one he sent me from Scotland.
Oh, double your pleasure, double your fun. That looks like Appalachia.
Come along, Patsy.
And look, here's another one from Chuck and Donna. Greetings from a cold place.
A cold place?
Sitting on my desk.
Oh, that one's been there for a while.
Yeah, Beaver Creek from space is what it says.
Oh, yeah, from March. Yeah. And then we have one from Slovenia. Did you get a Slovenia one? I got a green waterfall.
I may have that one somewhere.
That looks like a very
usually what
place.
I do is I take a picture of these weird. And keep them in Evernote. So every once in a while I go look.
It's just so weird to see a postcard from Slovenia considering that we just covered a movie from Slovenia a couple of weeks ago.
Really?
Yeah.
Let me guess,
very,
did it
very
have
gory.
Vampires?
No. Hatchet killers that like to create the most potent alcoholic drink, and they do it by distilling it from brain fluid.
Mm.
Yeah. Really lovely. But the scenery was gorgeous.
Bell bad.
I tell you, I expected Julie Andrews to come tripping down that hill any moment.
Hills are alive with the sound of music.
And on that note, I think it's time to go to the history thing.
Actually, I was doing more of a Jim Neighbors. Hills are alive. All right.
You do your Jim Neighbors and I'll stay away from my Frank Sinatra.
Surprise, surprise, surprise.
All right. Jeez. We didn't roll for initiative.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
You get the guest die.
Okay.
Roll them, Craig.
All right, here we go.
Ooh. Oh, bloody hell. I got a 16.
I got a 16 also.
Oh, shoot. Okay, we got to do it again.
I got an 18.
Tiebreaker.
Oh, Craig got an 18.
Oh, Craig. Wow.
What's your armor class?
Yeah, really.
I got to roll again.
Oh, I got another. Oh, I got a 19.
19?
Or a 61.
I got a 6.
I got a roll.
Okay, so that means it's me.
It's Craig. Because you and I broke a tie.
We broke a tie. That's right. Craig.
Okay. You, and then me.
Chuck.
Ben. So it's counterclockwise, starting from Craig.
Here we go.
If we're replacing Craig.
Brace yourselves.
If we're using proxy Craig.
Proxy Craig. We came up with that drug already.
Yeah. If you're using proxy Craig right there, then we're going counterclockwise. But if you're using proxy Craig over there.
You know I can't keep this straight while I'm running the board. All right, let's resume.
You're going to need a life-size cutout of me to sit in a chair.
I get the date and the count, and you get the first bullet. You ready?
Okay, I'm ready.
Resume. On this day in history for September 28, 2016, this is the 272nd day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are 94 days remaining in 2016. Your turn, Craig.
It was on this date in 1066 that William the Conqueror invades England, beginning the Norman conquest of said England.
Yeah, he invaded England to get the conquest of Norway?
Yeah.
We are in the wrong place.
I knew I should have taken a left turn at Albuquerque.
Hello, stupid canigans. 474 years ago today, navigator Juan Rodriguez Cabrillo of Portugal arrives at what is now San Diego, United States.
The newly completed United States Constitution is voted on by the U.S. Congress to be sent to the state legislatures for approval on this date in 1787.
And September 28th, 1892, the first night game for the American football takes place in a contest in Wyoming Seminary and Mansfield State Normal.
I bet there were 17 people there.
Yeah.
Corporal Frank S. Scott of the United States Army becomes the first enlisted man to die in an airplane crash. He and pilot Lieutenant Lewis C. Rockwell are killed in the crash of an Army Wright Model B at College Park, Maryland, on this date in 1912.
But in happier news, on September 28, 1924, the first round-the-world flight was completed.
That same date, in 1951, CBS makes the first color televisions available for sale to the general public. But the product was discontinued less than a month later. Yeah, we never got those, right?
It had too much radiation output. People were bursting into flames.
Yeah, that color stuff will never take off.
All U.S. Air Force, Minuteman, two ICBMs, plus certain bomber and tanker aircraft are taken off of standing alert by the U.S. Secretary of Defense on this date in 1991. We were on a standing alert.
I didn't know that. And also today, in 2008, SpaceX launches the first private spacecraft, the Falcon 1, into orbit.
And happy birthday goes out on this date to French astronomer and mathematician Ismail Biliadis.
What? Wait a minute. I'm still stuck on how you said mathematician.
What'd I say?
I'm not sure yet. I'm trying to figure it out.
Okay. Mathematician.
When was he born, Craig?
It was 1605.
The man whose name is closely associated with the toilet, Thomas Crapper.
Oh, dear Lord.
I don't make this stuff
no,
up. It was one of those Trivial Pursuit
not.
Questions that I always got right. I thought it was Sir Thomas P. Crapper, but I read his Wikipedia page and couldn't verify that. So
he said P.
He was also born in 1836 today.
And also born today in 1852, British astronomer and meteorologist Isis Pogson.
And speaking of CBS, the founder of CBS was born today in 1901. Happy birthday goes out to William S. Paley.
The man with a really big shoe.
Really big shoe.
TV host Ed Sullivan was born today in 1901.
And born September 28th, 1925, computer scientist and founder of the Cray Computer Company, Seymour Cray. What a coincidence.
I thought it was Seymour Butts.
No, Seymour Video. I want to see more video.
And finally, singer, songwriter, and producer Ben E. King is born today in 1938.
When the night
gets down. When the night is come.
And the moon is full.
Yeah.
I'll show you full moon.
I almost did at the hospital with that hospital gown.
Woohoo!
Great. I got to put the not safe for work tag on here.
Let's go to the listener birthday calendar while the music continues to play out. Happy birthday goes out to Scott Reynolds. He's not on the calendar. He's not even on Facebook. He's just in my...
Our own Scott Reynolds?
Friend of the show and longtime listener, Scott Reynolds. He used to be a contributor at one point.
He used to handle the stream.
Yes, he did. And I think the chat... Wow, you remember really well those early days. September 30th is his birthday. He will be a whopping 52 years old. Oh, so much for Privacy of Information Act.
That's right.
October 1st, which is 101, is the birthday of Stephen Welshy from St. Louis, Missouri, and Adam Rumke.
Welshy!
Not Welshy.
Welshy!
Adam Rumke is on September 2nd.
Welshy or won't she?
Boom! I can punch through this side-by-side video to your screen.
Yep.
If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go over to chuckchat.com/wiki and we'll give you a shout out. Sometimes you don't even have to be on the calendar and we'll give you a shout out because we're desperate for birthdays. There were only three. There were like 52 last week. I wish there was some consistency in this.
Yeah, no kidding.
We should blame the parents.
Distribute the birthdays evenly around the world.
Blame the parents.
Fade this out. This is kind of cool. It fades out automatically. So that's the way it was on this date for September 28th, 2016. Hands-free muting.
Ooh.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes?
Okay, we were talking about how CBS discontinued the first color TVs, you know, that they put on sale.
Right.
Can you imagine? I'm curious how this actually works. So, like a corporation, I guess CBS was manufacturing televisions for a little bit. Think of the initial cost to build them and start putting them out in the stores, and then you have to recall them, and they're not good anymore. Can you imagine that? How much that cost?
I don't know if it was actually a recall. They just said they stopped producing.
Stopped making them. There was no recall.
They said it was discontinued. So,
well,
I mean,
just because it's discontinued means, right. Well, it doesn't mean that they took them back. Although, well, you know, well, if they were causing spontaneous combustion, I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a recall. If were there recalls back then?
I don't
Probably
know.
Not.
Ah, they'll be all right.
Ralph Nader wasn't born yet. No, maybe if he was born, he wasn't working yet.
No, he was too
young. Well, think of any company. Not maybe that's just a great example, but any company that has to produce it and have to either do a recall or, you know, just stop producing. You imagine the cost of inventory. What do you do with that stuff?
That's a good question. I don't have a good answer.
I guess it varies. If you're Atari, you just bury it in the
dust. Yeah. Just and pretend it never happened. Call it a write-off.
Yeah. What E.T.? Okay,
that was cool. I just dragged a new file onto the soundboard on the Mac, and it showed up automatically on the iPad.
Ooh.
This is getting more fun by the day.
Yeah, now we got to definitely get that
bad
for our
news,
show.
Fancy men.
Keith'll love that.
The bad news is we covered this story a while back. As the California drought was getting worse, someone came up with this idea, let's put all these black spheres, these balls, on the water, and it will help prevent evaporation.
I've been hearing about that.
Only it didn't work out quite as well as they thought.
Bummer.
Yeah, California's water problem is severe despite 2016 seeing a distinct improvement in precipitation over previous years to almost average levels in many areas. Much of the state is in extreme drought. As well as ordering mandatory water reductions, the state has also been looking at other solutions. Shade balls, the 4-inch wide black plastic balls pictured above blanketing Los Angeles Reservoir, have been touted as one of these solutions, but they're not. The primary purpose of the release, which went viral last year, was to obey federal rules in covering drinking water. The Los Angeles Department of Water and Power, that LADWP, had previously used the balls in smaller reservoirs, and in the case of the Los Angeles Reservoir, says the balls helped the department save more than $250 million in installing a more permanent cover. And here's where it gets interesting. Although they were released to headlines like shade balls in Los Angeles Reservoir to save 300 million gallons of water annually, the main benefit of the balls is to prevent sunlight from reacting with the chlorine-treated water and naturally occurring bromide to create the possible carcinogen bromate. Makes sense. You don't want to poison your drinking water. The shade balls.
Somebody poison the water hole.
There's a snake in my boots. The shade balls aren't a complete solution, and there are accusations that they may deteriorate and release dangerous chemicals into the water.
Wow, that's a self-defeating purpose there.
The water in the Los Angeles Reservoir, however, goes through a UV treatment process before it makes its way to the citizens. So why the headlines? Well, the shade balls also discourage algae growth and, as a side benefit, prevent evaporation to an extent. But the, quote, 300 million gallons saved claim represents less than a day's water use for the LADWP. According to the LA Weekly, 300 million gallons of water was worth around 2 million at the time the balls were deployed, or roughly $32 million less than the cost of the balls themselves.
So they had a mediocre success with it, so to speak, I guess.
Really, there was a terrible ROI on this thing.
That's right.
That's what it boils down to.
Boils. Ha, ha, I got ha, it.
Ha, ha.
That's another one down the drain.
We're going to stay away from the balls jokes, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I was thinking, small balls and reservoir. Okay, yeah, there's a lot of places I can take that, but we don't want an explicit tag, so I won't.
Right.
One of these days, we will do an explicit Technorama.
Oh, you'll be so sorry.
Yeah, we were requested that a while back.
Maybe that's what we should release to the patrons.
Ooh, that's dangerous.
What do they call it when you have the 11 o'clock and later show? The
The after show?
The comedians, like you go on a cruise ship and the comedians have the 7 o'clock show and it's family safe.
Oh, yeah.
And then you get the 11 o'clock show and it's not
It's just called
safe.
The adult show.
Okay. We'll have the adult Technorama one of these days.
Well, that's going to be kind of tough. Since we're just a bunch of childish idiots anyway.
Hey, Chuck.
What?
You know, that would be interesting. Have our parents come in and do the show.
Oh, dear God.
You mean like be guests or actually do the show?
No, we'll just stand back and we'll just run the mixer and stuff and let them do the show.
Oh, that'd be painful.
I did that. It turned into an interview. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube.
Right.
All right. Let's go on to our next one. This is
It's a breakthrough food technology.
It's a breakthrough in food technology.
What the devil is that?
Craig, read it.
Okay. So from now on, when you get the munchies for a delicious street food snack, you will no longer have to choose between a hamburger and a hot dog because you can have them both on the same bun. Yeah.
Introducing
the ham dog. What's that?
That's like cats and dogs living together. I'm sorry. This is a sign of the apocalypse.
This is a creative marketing name too. Ham dog.
This is Armageddon.
It's more like cats and cow living together. And then what is in a hot dog? I don't know.
Cats? If you're in Vietnam, maybe.
The bun is shaped like a boppet.
Right. That's actually what I was thinking.
I
want to
keep
of.
Smacking this thing and twisting it.
I kept looking at it going, why does it look familiar? Oh, it looks like one of those video games you kind of hold. So anyway, he patented the idea, and there you go. Now you can have your hot dog and burger and eat it, too.
It doesn't even look good.
No, it doesn't.
It looks like they just sliced the hamburger in half. Let's see if we can find the picture with the open one. There.
Oh.
Yeah. It's just a hot dog running through the middle of a hamburger.
You know, that's a couple of flavors that are, I mean, that's not like a Reese's Pieces, you know. That's two great flavors that do not go well together.
Like ice cream and ketchup.
Yeah. You know.
Well, you know what's funny? As I think about, he was granted a patent for this. All right. And I think about things that are simple, like Apple patenting the touch the screen thing a long time ago, you know, like multi-touch,
right?
Which is like an intuitive thing. You didn't think that anybody could really kind of technically patent that much, you know, more than the technology itself. But the thing, it's like this. I've been talking about this since I was a kid.
I'm sure many people have engineered their own hot dog hamburger.
I would never have one. I don't care what that picture says. You know, you want one. No, I don't.
You would never eat a hot dog and a hamburger at the same time?
No. No, I would not. That's to me, that's heresy.
Heresy? Wow. I mean,
isn't that your son's name?
And whenever there's a cookout, I'll do a hamburger and a hot dog.
I mean, I'll eat one after the other, but I'm not going to be like alternating bites. No, and Donna looks like about to like puke.
I'm sure these are the highest quality hamburgers and hot dogs, too.
Oh, now I feel even better.
High quality.
I mean, cause I just cannot wait until McDonald's comes up with one of these things. Exactly.
The hot dog McRib sandwich.
Yes, there you go.
The McHam dog. The McHam dog. Welcome.
All right. News in from the live stream is the live webcam page is still showing 484 from last week.
Oh, man.
Lovely.
We're not done with our technology gremlins yet.
I can go change it, but it might break. I mean, you'd have to reboot.
I reloaded my page. It didn't help. It's still showing 484.
And that's the last episode I was able to see on YouTube.
I'm sorry. I did not upload.
Okay.
I'll fix it.
Thanks for the ham dog.
Yeah,
you know what? We're going to take a break so you can fix it now. How's that sound for a deal? Okay.
Sure.
We are going to be right back with our Hacks and Strange Stories. I remember when... Oh, I think we've done that one before, but we'll do it again. And some Media Corner. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Geek Thoughts. Alcohol and calculus don't mix, so never drink and derive.
I'm Seth Shostak, senior astronomer at the SETI Institute. Now back to Chuck and Craig.
Well, Well, that was a short break. Did you fix the page yet, Craig?
Yeah, actually, I'm saving it right now.
Wow. He is quick. Fastest coder in the West.
That's what she said.
They call him Step.
Right. They call him Step.
I sense a Dr. Demento skit.
Hacks and strange stories. All right, we have a collection of pictures that Donna's just going to roll on the video screen in whatever random order. These are hilarious bootleg toys that really, you know, they're bootleg just because.
Special. Oh, my word.
Let me get rid of this. Right, come on. Give me the air.
Oh, you're joking me.
We have toys like E3PO, which is E.T.'s head on C-3PO's body.
You know, I would buy that just to have it. I mean, that's...
Titanic bot?
Ill-tempered birds, pencil toppers. We have Robert Cop.
Oh, my.
He's half man. And he says, I'll be back. It's not even the right movie.
Not even the right movie. Well, there's an Avengers t-shirt that has Batman and that James Cameron movie that I keep wanting to forget.
Avatar,
yeah.
As the Navi.
E-3PO, and it looks like the robot from Buck Rogers.
Kind of does. Twiggy.
Yeah, Twiggy.
Bloodthirsty war dog.
Oh, now that's a scary Woody.
Funny.
Amicable funny Herculean.
Game Boy knockoff.
I'm
going to
take more sound bites out of this show just for that one.
Holy crud.
The Mighty Mutant Power Turtles.
Special Man.
Iron Warrior.
As played by Peter Dinklage.
Yeah. Sassy Jackie.
These just get terrible.
The Power Slayer. Power Slayer. Little Wizard.
It's like a Harry Potter.
Spook Chasers.
Gee, I wonder what that's a take on.
I couldn't even tell you.
Spook Chasers.
Knight Rider. B. Kames Robert.
Superman.
S-O-U-P.
Super Robot.
It's a Thomas the Tank Engine Voltron.
Super Cock.
It was a rooster. Child.
Well, where's the cat? Like the Super one. Sorry.
Demon Donkey. Hey,
Demon Donkey. Black Man. Oh, yeah, that's good. Big fella.
Kaiju.
Hey, I like the one that says Freddy's cousin. It says Nightmare Fetty.
Nightmare Fetty, yeah.
Freddy Krueger.
I know that grin scares me more than anything else.
These are just terrible. Except the new style ninja.
New style ninja tortoise. You know, I have a bad feeling these. Well, I'd like to know where these came from.
I call shenanigans on some of them, but others look legit.
Well, because I wonder about the last time I was in New York City and went to Chinatown, there are bootleg bootleg sellers just lining the streets, just peddling anything and everything.
We should grab some of that stuff. If this stuff is even close to real in
Mr. Rock.
Yeah. Why Spock when you can rock?
Yeah.
I like the bloodthirsty war dolphin.
The Space Boys 3.
He looks like Wreck-It Ralph.
He does. I love Amicable Herculean, though. That's the best.
All the Power Rangers look like Spider-Man.
Yeah. Mighty. Oh, I thought that said Naughty Mutant. That would have been funnier. Yeah. Sassy Jackie.
For 88 cents is Sassy Jackie. Don't ask, don't tell. So, yeah, if you're not watching the video stream, it's a whole lot of fun.
Yeah, you're missing.
Go through the show note links, and you're going to love these toys that we've been mentioning. It's just
really? Hey, really? You're going to love them?
Yes.
Well, you'll get a laugh out of it.
I love the Knight Rider became Robert.
I remember your favorite when I was hero a kid, is I played here to with save C-3PO the world. All day long.
Thomas the Tank Engine.
Thomas
Super
the Tank.
Robot.
Yeah, that's great. But this is my favorite. Changes from cock robot.
They didn't even spell from right. It was FRSM.
Yeah. Changes Frism cock robot.
I still like the Demon Donkey. My Little Pony.
Demon Donkey. You know what comes to mind? Did you ever see when they were rendering Shrek and they were demoing some
all of a sudden like Donkey would get footage. Fluffy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's fluffy or his jaw was sticking out or something. Demon Donkey.
All right, we have one more in the Hacks and Strange Stories. This is actually something neat that someone built. A man builds a water-cooled 72,000 72,000 lumen flashlight.
Wow.
It's insanely bright. It should be used more as a movie light.
Holy cow.
When he turns on the video, in the video, you can just, they demo it and it's amazing how bright building. This is.
That's like sunlight.
Unimpressed with the flashlight sold at your local outdoor store? Need to be able to spot bears at night from 5 miles away?
Need to blind your friends at the same time?
Want a sunburn from a Harvard Force?
Exactly.
Just do what YouTube hacker Sam Shepard did. Sam Shepard.
Not the same Sam Shepard.
did and build your own with 8 100 watt LED chips that produce somewhere around 72,000 lumens. The water cooling part has me intrigued.
Sunblock not included.
Watch your friends burst into flames.
Yeah.
For comparison, the digital cinema projectors used in modern movie theaters only produce around 35,000 lumens of light. And if you're wondering if a handheld flashlight this bright gets hot, the answer is an emphatic yes, which is why Shepard actually had to incorporate water cooling system into his design to prevent it from melting down while in use. Yikes.
Hey, by the way, you know, a car has about 1,200 lumens. This has 7,200,000, excuse me, 1,000 lumens.
Astronauts from the ISS have called and said, please turn off your light. You're blinding us.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what they have on top of the Luxor Hotel.
Hey.
Yeah, it may be. It's all water cooled up there.
Let's take a look at our faithful chat room. We have you and me and Donna, of course. Sinful is online. Mad Marv and Tim Elliott, thank you for joining us this evening. I sent out lots of invites on Facebook, so we'll continue to do that. So you know it's Sunday at 9:30 Eastern time. We're going to keep that schedule.
I like some of the comments that were there. That was a scary Woody, is what one person said.
Oh, so people are somehow watching this. They must be going to YouTube and cutting it.
Yeah, it looked like E.T.'s head on E3PO.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Flashlight is creating E3. A rainbow at night. You could probably do that if you ran a garden hose. Whew. Thank you very much for joining us in the chat room. We want to see you there. You can go to chuckchat.com/technorama/webcam. You know where to find us. Or if we don't have the link quite right, you can always find us on YouTube or broadcasting live. Although I am considering switching over to Facebook Live. Not sure if we're going to do that yet or not.
Facebook Live?
It's
really?
Not quite perfect.
How do you do that from a computer?
Getting better. Getting much better.
Wirecast will do that for us.
Okay.
Just like we're outputting to YouTube, we can output to Facebook. I think we can do that in 6. I'm certain we can do that in 7, but 7 is going to be a paid upgrade. We haven't budgeted that yet. Okay. Now, who was sending email?
Donna's going, what?
Who was sending email in 1984?
Well, yeah.
I was in 86.
I was in 86, not in 84.
Not in 84. Although I was on a bulletin board system in 85, which is
ditto.
This is what they're doing. Yeah. I mean, it's not true.
It's not true internet email because it was still what the ARPANET at that time.
Do you ever watch the show on Sky TV called Swipe?
No.
With Gemma, what's her name? And she talks about new games and new technology and how these technologies are being employed in our lives. Very entertaining show. Not very long, about 20 minutes. Well, this is like a predecessor from 1984 on this. And
or the Computer Chronicles, that kind of thing.
Yeah. This is a British show. And they say, so what are you doing? And did you ever watch the show Secret Life of Machines?
No, I'm not familiar with that.
Oh, that was a fun one to watch in the 80s because it was a very much homemade looking show.
Mm-hmm.
This guy would take random, he would explain how your appliances work. This is how a refrigerator works. You get the gas, you get compressed the gas, and when the gas is uncompressed, it gets cool, and they use that to cool the whole thing. Or a sewing machine.
And when you close the door on the fridge, the light does go out. Secret Life.
Or a car. Well, this is along those lines because it wasn't really polished for production. They do a remote video with two people sitting at their house and saying, hello, what are you using your computer for?
Well, I bought my computer to take care of the home, like recipes.
I felt like I needed to keep my contacts in one place.
Right. And they say, well, how do you get online? And he shows how he uncouples the phone connection, plugs it into the modem.
Oh, yeah.
and then uses a rotary phone.
Yeah, yeah.
To dial up. It wasn't even an acoustic coupler, thank goodness. But then he flips a switch on the modem to take over the connection once.
I have seen that.
Yeah, I think we've done this story before, but it was really painful.
It gets better.
Yes.
I'm waiting.
Do tell, Craig.
All right, so I got to tell you. So anyway, go ahead and finish talking about the people, the couple, and they're sending their email.
All right. Microcomputer user Julian Green shows how a Prestel, short for press telephone, user had to dial up the main Prestel system in order to connect, which he does with a rotary telephone. The early IP he used is Micronet 800. We've talked about the Micronets before. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the show, they say,
this is where it gets
if
better.
You would like, what were they, downloading a software package or something?
Oh, good
they
God.
They said, if you have a Microtel, can hook up your, and you have a headphone jack on your computer, you can hook up your television set to the computer and audio signals.
To a tape deck. You would record it.
Oh, record it to a tape deck. And you were basically downloading modem tones that would come in as some program.
Wow.
So while they're rolling credits, it sounds like a fax machine is going off.
Far
That's
out.
It's really sad.
Yeah, I've never seen anybody do that.
I'll give them a little bit of credit. When you consider when this was done, that's actually very innovative.
She said it was an experiment, and if it works, we'll continue it. I don't know if they ever continued it.
So, but When I had my Commodore 64, I had a tape drive at first, and I played it back, and it does sound similar to
it's noisy.
Modem. Huh?
It's very noisy.
Yeah, it sounds similar to the noise that, when you're calling up with a modem.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, she was talking about, we're going to do this for future episodes with the Commodore 64. She named several different computers, if it's successful, just like Chuck said. And then all of a sudden, she stops talking and they kind of show the monitors around the studio as the credits are rolling here. I'm like, they're really playing that? Wow. I just realized what she was asking me to do. Mm-hmm. And on the screen, it flashes the words, start tape now.
We should do that with our podcast. Start tape now.
Yeah.
But again, I will give them credit. I mean, maybe they were barking up a tree or something, but That is some very innovative thinking for 84.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. So that was our...
It blew me away. It blew me away. I never seen anything like that.
Sending email in 1984.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were hacking the system.
Oh, I forgot to remember when music. Darn it. Okay, let's do the...
Wait.
What?
Hey, before we go any further,
yes.
Let's talk to Ben about the film festival.
Film festival.
Oh,
Horrible
my word.
Horrible Imaginings.
75 horror films. Keith and I saw every single one of them.
How'd you have time to do that? Were they running? They must have been running them serially.
They were.
Okay.
It's all takes place at the Museum of Photography at Balboa Park in San Diego. They have just one theater room, so they were just running them back to back. They were running them in blocks. Most of them were short films. Mm-hmm. There were a number of features. They had some themes. There were some themes that I never need to see again. They had one block that was about cannibalism.
Oh, that's always nice.
Yeah, that was kind of far out. and also included a trip to the Museum of Man, which was just down the way from the Museum of Photography and Arts, and where they had a big exhibit on cannibalism there. So they had that. There was one of my favorite blocks was the comedy block. Comedy and horror is a great combination. No, it really is. I mean, because they can do some really just whacked out things.
I'll stick with the ham dog before I go to cannibalism.
Yeah, the cannibalism block did not appease.
Hey, it could be a form of cannibalism. Just saying.
Well, let's just say that this was human cannibalism and it was ugly. Yeah. There was a really great GLBT block, which included probably one of the funniest shorts. It actually won one of the awards. And I kept thinking, if Monty Python should ever decide to do a PSA on how to avoid black bears in the forest, this film would be it.
Wow,
with
really?
with a banana.
Well, no, it was all these warnings. You know, if you see a bear, don't do this. And but the funny thing was that it was actually a person in a really cheesy bear costume who would just walk right up to you and just stare at a person and then just tap them in the arm, a fly off, and blood would start gushing out. Things like that. It was hilarious.
That was part of the comedy sketch, right?
That was part of the that was a GLBT sketch, but the comedy sketch, There was one, this was great. If Michael Jackson's Thriller had been done as a Jewish-French comedy musical, this other short film would have been it.
That just made my head hurt.
It was hilarious. I mean, the things they came up with, and some of the feature films, too, were absolutely phenomenal. We saw a number of really great feature films. We live-blogged it, more or less. So we were sitting in the back of the theater, and I was just like writing like a maniac on my iPad, taking all sorts of notes. And then we go back to we're staying at an Airbnb. So then as soon as we get back to our home, I'd be right online again, and I'd be posting up reports on everything we saw. And at the same time, we tried to, in between blocks, get interviews with people, set up interviews. We've got an interview coming up with the director of what I think is one of the greatest horror films I've ever seen, called Beyond the Gates, that... Yeah. The premise is VCR horror board games.
VCR really? Horror board games.
Yes.
Okay. VCR as in what we're thinking.
VCR board games were really a big thing for a time. They didn't last very long because it's not great tech. But they still built this really crazy supernatural horror board game out of this from a VCR game. And
use your own adventure.
Yeah. Well, in a way. And they even had the star of the movie John Dies at the End in this film, plus one other actor who was in the American version of Being Human. I mean, it's a really great cast. One of the best films I saw in the entire... And then I got to close the thing off, one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my life, and I'm so glad somebody had the balls to make it, called The Greasy Strangler.
All I can picture is like Snape.
No.
No.
No. Let's just say I was scared to see this film because the description in the program book says this is a movie that will severely test the limits of your intestinal fortitude. And I kept thinking, oh, great, I'm going to be seeing something that's just downright gross and disgusting. No, it's about a serial killer who, when he decides he's going to kill people, he dips his entire body in a huge vat full of oil. And then he lets it harden. And then he strangles people, and then when he wants to wash it off, he walks through a car wash.
Ow.
I know, and it all comes off. The movie is insanely stupid, and it is hilariously funny. And when the movie was done, the director of the festival was sitting in the row next to us, right next to us, and he went off, came up to the front of the theater when the movie was done. And like I said, that was the last movie of the entire festival. And he said, I have never heard so many, what the f-.
Was it meant to be a comedy?
It is. This movie was deliberately meant to be awful.
Gotcha.
It's sort of like Ed Wood kind of Attack of the Killer Tomatoes kind of thing.
Okay.
Oh. I mean, I figured if Ed Wood had made Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, but made him as serial killers, this movie would have been it. But we had a really awesome time. Like I said, 75 movies. He's like, I'm kind of done for horror at the moment, but it was a great time.
I'm sure you're a little overload, right?
It was an overload. And I saw some horror films that were beautifully well done. I mean, I made the comment about the Slovenia postcard. We saw a Slovenian horror film, which was, from a cinematic point of view, was absolutely gorgeous, but the subject matter was horrible. So there were a number of those kinds of films, but most of the movies we saw were just unbelievably artistic and gorgeous to watch. Hmm. So and independent. Which just goes to show that independent horror is generally far more interesting than mainstream. I just caught a press screening for Blair Witch the other day. We ran a review for that out on TG Geek's webcast, and I would simply say, don't see it. That's a terrible movie. But I would point out, any of these, if you see an independent film festival come your way that's specializing in horror, go catch it, because that's where the genius filmmakers are at. It was cool. Well worth my time. Well worth both of our times. And I can't wait to go back next year.
Cool. We may have to join you.
Hey, by the way,
sounds like a lot of fun.
I think you'd have a really great time. Yeah. Keith was terrified when we went to it last year because he's not into horror. But after we interviewed the director, Miguel Rodriguez, we both thought, okay, we'll check this out. And Miguel was thrilled that we were going to go last year. So he gave us press credentials. He'd probably do the same for you. There were a number of podcasts that were represented.
Was that over... Labor Day weekend, or was it the weekend
this
after?
Last year, it was over Labor Day weekend this last time. Okay. So yes, it did conflict with Dragon Con.
Right.
But it doesn't necessarily do that every year.
Okay, we'll keep an eye on the schedule.
Yeah, we'll check in with Miguel next year. I'm hoping that it won't, because we have a standing invitation to go to Dragon Con next year as it is.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yes, you got to come. Right.
But in any case, yeah, we were given an invitation to attend Dragon Con.
Nice.
It depends on Horrible Imaginings, because we feel a sense of loyalty to that.
Absolutely.
Plus, it's easier to get to. It's cheaper.
Yeah. Well,
cheaper to go to.
We have... We found out that Craig and I will be hosting the Parsecs again next year.
Oh, of course you will.
So that'll be fun. Got a two-year contract with.
Yeah, like we didn't sign any contract that I remember.
Hey, it's called being drafted.
We're like a couple of cell phones. A two-year contract.
Right.
Hey, by the way, I got to throw this in here. We're talking about movies and stuff. I found this little gem today. It's James Gunn, you know, the director for Guardians of the Galaxy. Mm-hmm. He did these little videos online, and I think they were done a little bit. I'm not sure exactly when they were done, let's put it that way, but I think in the last few years. But it's called PG porn.
Oh,
have you seen that?
No.
It's everything you like about porn except for the sex, and it has some of it.
Okay, that leaves me with like what?
Well, that's just it. And
so which is just a pizza guy shows up.
Well, no, well, I'm thinking is, or, you know, or the obligatory babysitter.
Well, here you go. This is how it starts off. The first one I saw, I think, which is actually the last one in the series, was Nathan Fillion. And he's doing construction. He's with a nail gun, and he's just putting together a little cheap shelf or something. And they got plastic like it's a construction site, and the foreman's, his boss's wife comes in, and of course they start having their talk, and it's kind of, it's funny because he plays it so crappily, just like a porn actor. He's like, he went over there and kind of pointed awkwardly, you know. She gets down, and it looks like she's going to undo his pants, and it's like his nail gun is down there. It's no sex, but it's, you got to watch it.
Was he building her doll?
You're right.
He had to have been shirtless and sweaty. Otherwise, it doesn't sell.
Wasn't quite sweaty, but, and then they had, they were doing a knockoff on Charlie Brown. You know how they do porn.
What? Whoa. I'm having a hard time with Charlie Brown and porn all of a sudden. You've just destroyed my childhood.
Again.
Wait a minute. You know how they do porn spoofs on stuff like Star Wars and stuff like that?
Well, I've seen that. I had no idea there was one done on Charlie Brown.
Yeah. So I'm talking about, this is still James Gunn's thing.
Okay.
So one of them that's called Penis, like instead with Penis without God. The T. And I was like, what? And Sal, you got to watch it. I'm going to leave it alone right there. But you got to go see it.
Thanks, Craig.
I've got visions of Snoopy and Woodstock doing terrible things all of a sudden.
No, it's not quite like that. But this guy, the actor, you'll recognize him. I can't remember his name, but you'll recognize him. His head's shaved except for a little poof of hair right in the front. So he's wearing a Charlie Brown t-shirt.
Where can I find this? Is this all on YouTube?
Just search for PG porn and you'll find it.
Okay. Google's going to love me for that.
I'll stick the link in the show notes.
And you know, that's going to end up in my search history.
That's
now.
Right.
So
Facebook is giving you those ads again.
Yeah.
I'll put a link in the show notes.
I'm going to have Keith look for it. Yeah.
He's already. Can you look at,
history. Amazon, his Amazon browsing history is already toast.
Well, I wasn't too comfortable putting this on Facebook more or less, but I thought.
But you did anyway.
Okay, yeah. Moving on. Let's get back to our patrons. We'll play the patron music. There we go. Thank you very much to the patrons of... Hold on. Where do they find the Horrible Imaginings reviews that you did?
Oh, you can find it at tggeeks.com.
Craig got me all distracted. Okay.
Shame on you, Craig.
Hey, I did do it.
Uh-huh. Thank you very much to Kyle Nishioka, Mike Will, Steve Therian, Saturday Morning Media, Chris MC, Alexis Duran, Ben Vaughn, Dennis Patnaud, Nick St. Gabriel, and Amy Bowen, you all will be receiving a gift shortly. And if you want to receive a gift for your efforts in supporting this show, you can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. We appreciate what you do for us, keeping the show going, where there's always things to pay for and upgrades to have so that we can continue to bring you this insanity that we do each week.
Yeah. So, and to keep Donna off Chuck's back.
Well, she does a wonderful job on the video.
I just wanted to see if I could get her to say something.
Nope. Nope. She just smiles and nods in the corner.
Right.
I'll have to give you like some visual cue that she's laughing.
Yeah.
Some sign language.
You like,
just hold up
like
a sign in front of the camera.
You
know, Donna's laughing.
Hey, I got punch cards. I can put that on there.
Yeah, just draw a smile on there. She can just hold it up. Face.
Alrighty, we should get to the media corner because we have a couple more articles to do.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music
and things?
TV and videos and things?
Things?
Over here, in the media corner.
And things.
What were we watching or listening to? Somebody said that and it just jumped out. I was in the hospital bed and watching a TV show and somebody said, and things. I went, oh, bullseye!
Copycat.
Yeah, it was like from 1982.
Oh, Ben, he said, build bullseye so I can go get my lawyer after him.
Oh.
Bullseye. I'm winning.
All right, fellow Earthlings, you now have a chance to own a copy of the gold record that's attached to Voyager 1 and 2 that I mentioned at the top of the show. Remember that thing that was plastered to the side that was engineered and crafted and
it had like greetings from all around the world and different languages. Yeah.
Yes. Back in the 70s, famed astronomer Carl Sagan and a team of scientists and artists put together a collection of golden phonograph records, which were sent to space aboard Voyager 1 and 2. They contained greetings in 55 languages, a plethora of animal sounds, traditional music from around the world, Mozart and Bach's masterpieces, as well as Blind Willie Johnson and Chuck Berry tracks. They really went all over the place. Well, now a Kickstarter campaign wants you to give us lowly earthlings a chance to own a copy of the Voyager Golden Records. They are remastered and pressing vinyl set for this, and you can own a digital copy as well if you don't still have your turntable, which I do, right there next to the studio.
Is that a USB turntable?
No, it's not a USB. It's going into an amp.
And it's an actual, it's an old, with the RCA plugs?
Oh, yeah.
Far out.
Yeah, into the.
That's
into
a museum piece now.
High-tech mixer. Well, it has been restored and calibrated and works pretty darn well. So I may just get one of these. I got to see how much they are offering these for on the Kickstarter project. They asked for $198,000. And as of now, earlier this week, 1,094 backers pledged $130,000. That's
making
like $130 a piece. Huh.
Hey, I'm confused because you. I swear I've listened to the audio before. I think it's freely available.
Greetings from the
Yet
people.
Yet they want to charge you for $15
well,
for a
download.
Like
it gets better. Box set and they've got pictures.
Wait a minute. I'm saying they want that. Look at the second tier in the project. Pledge $15 or more, you get a download of the Voyager
right
Golden Record audio, which it's on YouTube.
Oh man, they're way past their goal now. I mean, I just clicked on it. 4,500 people.
Still 25 days left.
$563,000 of their $198,000 goal. So they made it.
I've got that old phrase, there's a sucker born every minute, going through my head. I mean, the physical media is cool.
Right.
But if you're just simply interested in
the content,
yep. Well, Craig's right. I mean, you can get that free.
That's a freely available audio. Yeah, I know. I've listened to it, and it's interesting to listen to. But yeah,
There's not just listening. There are pictures as well.
I mean, the physical media does look pretty cool, and the way they've packaged it looks awesome.
Gold records.
Yeah, it is cool. You know what? I'd get more excited about this if the money that they raised not only gave you the product, but it went towards something space-related project, like not sending your name to Mars, but you know what I'm saying? Something like that.
Okay.
Wouldn't that be cool?
Yeah.
Well, something to help further the space project.
Right.
Yeah, I'm
just
all for
somebody
that.
Gathering up media and pressing vinyl records.
Maybe we can update Voyager 1 and 2 with CDs now.
Okay.
So I guess we'll send the futuristic warp ship out there to catch up with Voyager 1 and 2 so we can replace the albums with gold-plated CDs.
When are we going to be releasing V'ger? Voyager 5?
It was Voyager 6.
Was it 6?
Yes.
Oh, that's because Voyager 5 got blasted out of orbit. Oh, wait, that's SETI Alpha.
SETI Alpha 5.
Okay, am I mixing this up enough for you?
Yes, you're crossing the streams really well
I
now.
I stayed in the Star Trek 1 and 2 universe.
Hey, did I tell you about this great PG porn?
Speaking of Nathan Fillion.
Yes, right.
He was interviewed recently, and people wanted to know what he thought about Firefly just having one season. You know what? Ben hasn't read a story yet.
All righty.
Shall I zoom in on this at all?
Well, okay, I can read it as long as I adjust my glasses a bit. We'll be hard-pressed to find a Firefly fan that hasn't vocally wished there were more episodes of Captain Mile and his goddamn heroes trekking about the verse on the show's sole abbreviated season.
Then they should have said Goram.
But at this point, even Nathan Fillion has entered the acceptance stage of the five stages of grief. Speaking at a panel with the rest of the show's cast at Long Beach Comic-Con this past weekend, when asked about why there isn't more of the series, Fillion said that while the job was a dream role for him, at this point, he's ready to accept that there won't be any more Firefly coming. It's really hard to look at that kind of stuff and say, give me more, because it's not enough. Oh my God, it was everything. It was everything! How can everything not be enough? Which makes sense.
Exactly after he spent, sounded too.
Yeah, I'm sure he did. After he spent Nathan the past 13 years fielding the same question, well, yeah, now you know he was screaming at that point. 13 years fielding the same question about the show's fate. Of course, Fillion would prefer to preserve the memory of the time he spent on the show instead of being perpetually stuck, hoping that there'll be more one day. That said, even all this time later, it's still nice to dream every once in a while, but Wash is still dead.
Yeah. Wash is dead, but wasn't there talk about a follow-on movie?
But Wash is dead!
Yeah, that's a stumbling block for me.
For a lot of people!
Yeah. That's kind of a showstopper.
Reboot it! Hollywood does that!
Oh, more reboot rage. Great. Well, then Nathan Fillion's got nothing to worry about. They'll just recast the part.
Right.
Hey, I will never give up hope, but I'm almost in that camp because I'm like, you know, it's 13 years. That's a long time. I'm okay with the show and the movie.
But Wash is dead.
That's true.
It's over.
You keep bringing this Wash up thing.
Hey, don't say Wash up to guys over 50.
No.
Wash up. Keep bringing up the Wash thing. There we go.
See, I told you I speak Craig.
Yeah.
Did you read your text earlier, Craig? When
what
I
text?
Said, are you ready? You said, if you want, I said, shall I start the stream and talk to the viewers? I said, if you want, I'm just putting years in the bed of the there in a minute.
Oh, my word.
I was trying to, no, I replied to my watch and I didn't feel, I saw it and I went, I don't feel
close enough.
I'm convinced that we need to contact Google and have a translate parameter called Craig.
That's right. No, I replied on my watch and I didn't feel energetic enough to go back and say it again. So I just sent it. I said, he'll figure it out.
Close enough. All right. Our question of the week for you, dear listeners. Do you believe the internet is a crutch for your memory or a tool to learn and retain? Craig wrote that one.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
I think it's half. It makes sense.
I have my opinion.
I have mine too.
We can come back to that next week.
Yeah.
Or if anybody sends us an invite, you can send us info at listenerline 707-530-CHAT. Let's see. I think I have that here somewhere. Yes.
Call the listener line at 206-222-CHAT.
Or you can email us, technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget, show number 500 is coming. And so is winter, and show 500 may be worse.
I keep hearing about this bloody winter coming. I'm still waiting.
Six book later, then winter's still coming.
I'm still waiting, and darn it all, living in Phoenix, I'm going to wait even longer now. I'm still waiting for fall.
I think fall got here.
Did it?
Darn good.
Well, okay, the monsoon is gone, so I guess that can that's considered fall now.
Right.
And once it gets below 90, then we can consider it winter.
Well, the weather is starting to break here now this week, so hopefully it'll...
And that concludes our weather forecast for Technorama. Yeah. Thank you for listening in your part of the world that at some later date that makes all of this irrelevant.
Remember when you did that internet traffic report and you said the internet is dark, you know, it's part of the weather. You said something about the weather.
Not on the traffic report. The traffic report was all about the on-ramps and off-ramps and ports.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, there was a routing, a collision on. There was a thing that says it's dark on the internet. It was the weather. We did the internet weather or something one time.
Okay, we'll have to go find that one.
It's in our
collection of intros somewhere.
Yeah.
And I still haven't sifted through all the stuff I found on that random lost hard drive. Anyway, we need to get out of here. It is an hour long of the show, which is a little more than we usually ask of our faithful listeners, but you can listen to this in chunks, I guess, or it's going to come up in chunks.
I was going to say something's chunky.
Something's chucky?
Thank you very much, Ben.
My pleasure.
Remind the listener once again where they can find you.
They can find me and Keith, although Keith is in San Antonio right now, but they can find us both at tggeeks.com.
Because right now it's just one G geek?
It's just a G geek.
Single.
If there were more, there'd be like 3G and then it'd be faster.
We've had, we're working on the LTE geeks.
You know, I was about to say something, but that sounded really close to, you know, LTGBT.
Like, okay.
There's a Q in there.
I can work on that.
The L, the T, and the E. I'm sure.
LTBG geeks. You started it.
I know. And I can't even keep up. I can blame it on the meds. Still on them for a while. Thank you for listening. We appreciate you giving us your time. And Craig, give him a binary high five.
101. See ya.
Take care and good night.